too much, but we need salt in our lives. We need light in our lives as well. So let's hear our Bible readings today. Firstly, from the book of Hebrews, which is not one we normally read with, and then from Revelation 21, which is also perhaps a bit more familiar.
Hebrews chapter 11, 1 to 4, 8 to 11, 13, and 39 to 40. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And second reading is Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Friends, pray with me. Lord, we thank you that we can be here and listen. Help us to listen deeply. Take the words I've prepared through the inspiration that comes from your holy word and help us to hear what you would have us hear today, and not only hear, to be challenged and comforted in equal measure. Through Christ we pray. Amen. So we're on the theme of a hope that looks forward and lives now. Friends, hope is a word we often use and usually use it lightly. We need to be on the next one there. And hope is a word that we use also lightly. We hope the weather will be good this afternoon. I think the forecast is for showers, isn't it? We hope the train or the bus will be on time. We hope that Ipswich Town will win the next game. We hope Ipswich Town will actually be promoted into the Premier League. And if Brian was here this morning, I'd say he's the person who doesn't hope for that because he's a Norwich City supporter. Ooh. We hope tomorrow will be better than today. In everyday language, hope can sound like a little more than crossed fingers. Desire without certainty. Wishful longing without assurance. For many people today, hope feels fragile and precarious. In a world shaped by global conflict, threats of global conflict, economic anxiety, environmental crisis, and personal vulnerability, hope can seem all so naive and even a bit indulgent. It's not realistic, is it? Some have learned to protect themselves by lowering expectations, by expecting disappointment rather than daring to hope. Others have learned to ignore the world, as if ignoring all the issues and problems will make those issues and problems go away. Or at least won't bother me if I ignore it all. Christian hope, however, friends, is something very, very different. Hope in the context of faith is not optimism that denies reality. It is not pretending that things are better than they are. Also, it is not just wishful thinking. Christian hope is honest, resilient, and grounded. Rooted not in circumstances, but in the character and faithfulness of God. That's why the writer of the Hebrews defines faith as, and we heard it just before, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith and hope are inseparable. Faith is not certainty or proof. It is trust. Hope is not fantasy. It is direction. Faith gives hope substance. Hope gives faith a future. They go hand in hand. Christian hope does not emerge because the world feels safe or predictable. It grows precisely when life feels uncertain and unresolved. It is learned in waiting, in disappointments, and in vulnerability. It is hope that dares to exist even when outcomes remain unclear. Jesus' words in Matthew 5 speak directly to this kind of world. It's today's lectionary reading. I didn't get Sarah to read it because that would have been 3 for her. So let's hear it now. Verses 13 to 16 of Matthew 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You are salt of the earth. You are light of the world. These words are not addressed to people with power or security. They are spoken to ordinary people living under Roman occupation with economic strain, cost of living crisis, we'd probably call it now, and political insecurity. And yet Jesus tells them that their lives already matter, that their presence in the world is already making a difference to the world around them. Hope, then, is not something we postpone until conditions improve. It is something we are called to embody now. Excuse me. In Hebrews 11, goes on to tell the story of people who lived by faith, not because they had certainty, but because they trusted God. Trusted God enough to keep moving on. Abraham leaves home without knowing where he is going. Sarah hopes beyond what seems reasonable. Moses leads a people towards a future he himself will never enter. And there are other examples. Can I suggest, if you want to, read Romans 11 later when you get home. Some of those are familiar, some of them aren't. They're all examples of faith that the writer of the Hebrews wants to hold up to us. But they are not stories of triumph or visible success. They are stories of faithful endurance. They remind us that faith is not about having answers, we often think that too often, but about remaining faithful in the absence of answers. This challenges a great deal of our modern thinking. We are accustomed to planning, forecasting, and measuring outcomes. We have spreadsheets. We need a business plan before we do anything. We like reassurance. We like evidence that things are or will improve when we do A or B. But biblical faith often unfolds in ambiguity. It requires patience and it involves risk. And us churches aren't good at risk, are we? Jesus' image of light is helpful here. Light does not eliminate darkness in one dramatic moment. It does not turn night into day all at once. Instead, light makes it possible to take the next step without fear, and then the next step. Faith works in the same way. It does not give us the whole map. It gives us enough to keep walking. For many people today, uncertainty is not theoretical. It's lived reality. People wait for test results. People wait to get the test, to have the results. They live with chronic illness or long-term grief. They are worried about their children and their grandchildren growing up in an unstable world. Many do not know if there will be food on the table tomorrow. Friends, Christian hope does not dismiss these fears. It does not rush people towards positive thinking. Instead, hope says God is present there too. Even when the future is unclear, even when your future is unclear, even when the path is hard, you are not abandoned, you are not alone. We see this hope lived out quietly all around us, in carers who show up day after day with little recognition, in people who continue to volunteer to listen, to care, even when they are tired. In congregations that remain places of welcome and hospitality when resources of time, talent, or money are stretched very thin. These kind of places rarely attract attention, but they shine nonetheless. They give flavour as salt does nonetheless. If Hebrews teaches us how to live with hope in the present, our reading from Revelation 21 gives us a vision of where that hope is leading. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. These words offer the most powerful and hopeful image in all of scriptures, and one of the most misunderstood. This is not a vision of escape from the world. It is a vision of renewal in the world. God does not abandon creation. God comes to dwell within it. Heaven does not pull humanity away from earth. Heaven comes down. God makes a home among people. Tears are wiped away. Death, mourning, crying, and pain lose their final authority. Revelation was written to communities living under immense pressure, surrounded by violence, injustice, and imperial power. They had no rights. It proclaims that the world as shaped by injustice is not the world as God intends it to be. At its heart, Revelation is a book of hope. It names suffering honestly. It does not minimize pain or gloss over loss, but it insists that suffering is not the ultimate. God's faithfulness is. This matters deeply in a modern context where people are tempted either to despair or to disengage. Christian hope does neither. It looks squarely at what is broken, and there is enough around that is broken, and still dares to trust that God is at work bringing renewal. Jesus' image of a city on a hill belongs here. A city cannot be hidden. A community shaped by hope becomes visible, not because it is perfect or powerful, but because it lives different values. It offers a glimpse, and it's only a glimpse, it's only partial, of the world God is bringing into being. In this is the future of God's promises. A future of justice, peace, healing, and reconciliation. Then hope calls us to live towards the future now. Not as a way of earning it, but as a response to it. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good work and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is not a call to performance or self-promotion. Light shines simply by being light. Hope becomes visible through lives shaped by compassion, patience, integrity, and courage. And this is where the salt image comes into focus again. Salt preserves, it slows decay, it brings out what is good, it gives flavour. Much of Christian hope looks like this: small, faithful acts that resist despair and make life more livable. Preparing food, visiting the lonely, telling them the truth, telling ourselves the truth. Refusing to give up on one another, even when the other person really should be forgotten about. These actions do not change the world overnight, but they matter. They testify to a deeper truth that God's future is already pressing on the present. Christian practice sustains this kind of hope. Prayer that tells the truth keeps us grounded and honest. Worship, Sunday or at other times, reorientates us when the world feels overwhelming or we are overwhelmed. The community of faith ensures that hope is shared, carried together with individual strength when individual strength falters. Christian hope does not deny grief. It does not rush past pain. Jesus himself wept. The promise of renewal does not erase suffering, but it does promise that suffering will not be the final word. In a modern world marked by uncertainty, Christian faith offers neither easy answers nor empty reassurance. Life can be hard. Life can be uncertain. What Christian faith offers instead is a way of living, rooted in trust, shaped by love, and sustained by hope. And that hope, quiet, resilient, luminous, salty, grounded not in optimism but in God's faithfulness, is enough. Enough to keep us present, enough to keep us compassionate, enough to carry us forward as we live today, live towards the day when God makes all things new. Are you living in the hope of God this day? Amen.